Well, good morning. If you're not already turned there, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Our lesson today is titled, How We Can Know That We Know Him. How We Can Know That We Know Him. You know, 1 John is really a book that was written to show who is a true believer and who is not. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John says, These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And so John wrote this letter so that we could know our standing with God, so that we could know that we have eternal life. And so John gives basically the test of a Christian. And it's a threefold test. You have the love test. For example, you'll see it all the way through the book of 1 John. But for example, in 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8, John says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so in order to pass the test, you have to be loving. But then there's an obedience test as well. First John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of his Son. Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And then you have the truth test. It matters what you believe. That's why we have the Bible. But in 1 John 4, beginning at verse 1, he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So John gives this threefold test by which we can know that we know him, the love test, the obedience test, and the truth test. Now those are the tests that John gives as we read through this letter. You know, every day that we live, we're confronted with all kinds of sins and temptations and allurements. And sometimes these temptations can get the best of us. And in a moment of weakness, we give in and we sin. And when we sin, then our conscience kicks in and we feel guilty. And some of us even begin to question whether or not we know God. You know, we begin to look at our relationship and we wonder, you know, if I knew God and I really walked with God, would I do this and would I continue to do this? And so we begin to question our salvation, to question our relationship with John. Well, John doesn't want us to question our relationship with God. John wants us to know that we know him in a rock solid sense. And so we're going to look at three proofs by which we know him. Number one, we can know that we know him by keeping his commandments. By keeping his commandments, we know him. Verses 3 through 5, notice what John says here. John writes and says, reading in the third chapter. He says, By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. And so here John is discussing the means by which we know God. And notice that John does not say we know him because of some emotional feeling of some kind. All right? Now, there's nothing wrong with an emotional feeling. I think emotional feelings are good. And I think our faith involves emotion. It's not all intellect. There's certainly emotion there. When we sing, that's emotional. When we take the Lord's Supper, that's emotional. And so emotions are something you expect in a relationship with God. If there are no emotions, then that says something about your relationship with God. I think that emotions are certainly there, but we don't know that we know Him because of some emotional feeling that we have. You see, all of us enjoy a worship service when it's great, and the song service when it's inspiring, and the prayers when they're passionate. But that feeling in and of itself, that emotional feeling, is not the demonstration that you know Him or that I know Him. The demonstration that I know Him to myself and to others is the way we behave. And so the way we live, that shows whether or not we know God. And so you know God is in your life when you are tempted to sin and you put up a fight to resist that temptation, right? Because that's what a Christian will do. That's what a believer in Jesus would do. You know that God is in your life when you have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with people, and you share that good news, right? You know that because you're obedient to God. You know God is in your life when you get involved in kingdom work, when you get involved in the Lord's church and you roll up your sleeves and you labor for the kingdom's sake. You know God is in your life because you are following God's will. You're doing what He wants you to do. He gave us a commission. He said, go into the world. And so He gave us this great ministry of reconciling the world to Himself through the gospel of Jesus. And so we as God's people need to be obedient to the Great Commission and share the good news with people who are lost. You know, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. So in other words, if I'm going to call Jesus Lord, then I better do what He says. But if I'm not doing what He says, then I have no right to call Him Lord. And so the way we act shows whether we know God or not. Notice that John used here a form of parallelism in verses 3 and verse 4. So in verse 3, John says, now we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And then he says, he who says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so a man who says, I'm a member of the church of Christ, I'm a member of the body of Jesus Christ, but he sins knowingly and willingly, he's dishonest, mistreats his wife and his kids, then he's just lying, right? This person does not know God. He doesn't have a relationship with God. You know, a man may even live a good moral life and treat his wife and his family right. And he may give liberally to the church, for example. But if he doesn't keep the commandments of God, he doesn't know God. So just being a good, moral, outstanding citizen doesn't mean you know God, right? You can be moral. Are we obeying the commandments of Jesus? And by the way, selective obedience is not obedience. So we don't just get to select the passages in the Bible that we're going to obey and then just reject the other. Right? We can't do that. We have to obey the whole will of God. We can't be selective in our obedience. I mean, if we're obedient to come and assemble on the Lord's day and to worship and take the Lord's Supper, that's one thing. But how am I responding to the mission that Jesus gave to His people? How are you responding to the mission of Jesus? Are you obeying Jesus? Are you doing what Jesus has commanded you to do? Are you doing that? That's important because John says whether or not we know God is dependent on whether or not we keep the commandments of God, whether we obey His will or not. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so this is one of the surest ways to show God and others that we love Him is by keeping His commandments. When we do that, we show love for God. And so we know Him if we keep his commandments. But secondly, we know him by imitating the life of Jesus. In verse 6, John says there, he says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." So John says, if you claim to know Jesus, then live your claim. Jesus says, John says, walk in the way that Jesus walked. So what kind of life did Jesus live? What kind of life did he live? Well, we can simply scan through the New Testament and we can get a good feel for the kind of life Jesus lived. Number one, he lived a life of submission and obedience to the Father. And that's an example for all of us to serve as well. But in the book of Philippians chapter 2, I would turn your attention there because what Paul says is so encouraging for us. So beginning at verse 5, listen to what Paul writes here. He says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God did not consider it robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so Jesus lived a life of humble submission to God. He humbled himself and he took upon him the form of a servant. He became in the likeness, he came in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, Paul says, even death on a cross. And so Jesus willfully offered his life as a sacrifice to God. Let me just turn your attention to one other verse on that. Hebrews 10. And I was going to go to Psalm 40, which is what the Hebrew writer is talking about. But I'm just going to look at Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, verse 5 through 7 here, this comes from Psalm 40. So this is the prophecy that was written about Jesus. "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you've prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Jesus came into the world and he did the will of God. He lived a life of submission and obedience to the Father. And that's an example for you and I to follow as well. But Jesus also lived a life of love. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." And so we know that Jesus lived a life of love. All that he did was love. He loved people. We went to the cross because he loved people. He lived a life of love, and it's a life that we're supposed to follow as well. But in addition to that, he lived a life of service. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45 sums up his ministry in two words. Mark 10 and 45. Mark 10:45, this is what it says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so Jesus lived a life of service. And he says he came not to be served, but he came to serve. And that's what he did. But he also came as a sacrifice. So he came to serve and he came to sacrifice. But he lived a life of service. It's how he lived. But then lastly, I want to point out, he lived a life of mission. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In Luke 19, verse 10. Luke records these words, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And so Jesus came on a mission. He came on a rescue mission. He left heaven to seek and save the lost. That's us. All of us were lost. We were sinners, the Bible says. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. And Jesus went on a mission to save us from our sins. And he completed that mission. And on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And so the work that God gave Jesus to do was complete. And so let me ask you, brother, are you imitating the life of Jesus? What about you, sister? Are you imitating the life of Jesus? Are you living a life of submission and obedience? Are you living a life of love? Are you living a life of service? Are you living a life of mission? And you should be, because we're all on a mission. Because the one who sent Jesus into the world sends us into the world with the same mission to seek and to save that which is lost. And so I want to urge you to live as Jesus lived. It's one of the surest ways to show that you belong to Jesus. You show this to yourself, you show this to people you work with, and you show it to the world. That when you live like Jesus, then you belong with Jesus. And so, this week, you're going to be given an opportunity to maybe put in a good word for Jesus somewhere. Maybe someone at work, maybe someone who cuts your hair, maybe at the grocery store. You don't know where. You never know when it's going to happen. But you have an opportunity to share the word with this person. I hope that you'll take advantage of the opportunity. Live as Jesus lived and minister to that person, because that's what Jesus would do. Maybe you're going to have an opportunity to encourage a brother or sister in Jesus who desperately needs it. I hope and pray that you will do just that. And so we know that we know him, number one, when we keep his commandments. Number two, we know that we know him when we imitate his life. And number three, we know that we know him by loving his people. By loving his people. And so look at verses 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10, John writes, "He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness." Listen to that. Until now. "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause of stumbling in him." Wow. So, in what sense is this an old commandment? John says it's old, it's new. In what sense is it old? Well, it's old in the sense that it was written long ago, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This is Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's written in the law. But also it is old that in that this is not the first time that Jesus' hearers have heard this. From the very first day that you enter into the Christian life, you are taught the way of love. The apostles were taught the way of love. We are taught the way of love. You see, it was this new love that Jesus says we're to love one another with. Remember, the law was love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus took that and he upgraded it. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. That's different. So in other words, if I love you, if I just obey the command, love your neighbor as yourself, okay, that's one thing. But if I am to love as Jesus loved, that's different. That's different. It's greater in quality, right? Because it's not love your neighbor as yourself, because you may not love yourself very well. But how does Jesus love everybody? Immensely, right? And so it's new in that Jesus adds to it and says, you love as I have loved you. And so when it comes to intensity and quality, that love has been upgraded, if you will, because you love as Jesus loved, not as you love yourself, but as Jesus loved. That's different. And so John says the way you treat your brother is at the very heart of whether or not you obey the command, the way you treat your brother. This is important. And so let's look at some ways where we can show hatred, where we're not showing love for our brothers and sisters the way that we should. Whoop. Sorry about that. There we go. Just a couple of quick ways we can show hatred. We know how we can show love, right? But how can we show hatred? Believe it or not, gossip. Gossip. To talk about your brother or sister, that's hate. And that is hate speech. Gossip is, in fact, hate speech. And so when you gossip about a brother, that's because you hate that brother. You wouldn't gossip if you loved them, right? You wouldn't do that. When we don't show any concerns for their problems, for what they're struggling with in life, if we don't come to their aid and we don't try to help them, then what we're really demonstrating is hatred toward a brother or a sister. And when we don't assist them in time of need, John talks about that in the third chapter, and we'll talk about that in greater detail. But love, this is the thing. Love is the greatest command in the Bible, right? And it's the greatest virtue. Now abides faith, hope, love, and the greatest of these is love. And so it's the greatest testimony. And so Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one for another. So the greatest testimony is when I love my brothers and my sisters. That's a great testimony. And so love, it's what it's all about. And John says, if you don't love, then you don't know the Father. I mean, it's about as crystal clear as you can get. He says, he who says he's in the light and hates his brothers in the darkness until now, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so if we do not love our brother, then we are in the darkness, meaning we don't know God. We don't have a relationship with God. Love. Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? And hopefully you do, because John says this is the mark as to whether or not you know him or you don't know him. So we can know that we know God by, number one, keeping his commandments. Number two, by living the life of Jesus. And number three, by loving God's people. Now that's, love is going to be something we're going to pound in the ground as we go through the book of 1 John. So I'm not laying it all open today. There's a lot that John says on the topic of love. So we'll address that as we have subsequent lessons. But it's a huge lesson in the book of 1 John, those three things that I initially listed off, that there's the love test, the obedience test, and the truth test. And so John helps us to know our standing, our relationship. We don't have to wonder, do I know him? Do I have a relationship with him? No, I can know crystal clear that I know God. Because I keep his commandments, I live the life of Jesus, I love God's people. Therefore, I know I'm good with God. Can that be said of you? And if not, I hope and pray that you'll change that this morning. Maybe you need to come and confess sin. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're dead in your sins and you're lost. And the only way you can be made alive is to come to Jesus Christ so that your sins could be forgiven. We're going to sing a song and we encourage you, come to Jesus while we sing.